Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Welcome to Quote Me, a weekly podcast that seeks to encourage, inspire, and lift you up to be all you were created to be. Words are powerful. Recognizing and celebrating the impact they have on our lives can comfort or challenge us, or both at once. I'm your host, Lindsay Schlegel, and I'm so glad you're here. Today, I hope we can honor the truth, beauty, and goodness of well-chosen language, and so glorify God. Let's begin. My guest today is Alexandria Morrow, a former theology teacher turned stay-at-home mom who now focuses on writing. She is a fellow contributor to Ever Eden, a fantastic literary journal. Last season, we had Amy O'Connell on, who is the publisher of Ever Eden. So we'll have a the show notes. If you haven't already subscribed, please do. Allie has written poetry and short stories. I have short stories in there as well. And there's some creative nonfiction, some reflections. It's a really beautiful thing. And I love that part of the beauty is that it has brought Allie on the show today. So Allie, thanks for hanging out with me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here and to get into the discussion we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, let's talk words. So your quote is from Henry David Thoreau, and we were talking before we started about how this brings me back to junior year high school English class, where we learned about him and Walden and that whole movement, which I think sometimes is not always in line with Catholic teaching, but at the same time, like, there are pearls of things always. Like, there's a little bit, there's God in everything. So you have a great quote from Thoreau that I think is applicable in all kinds, like everywhere in life. It's goodness is the only investment that never fails. Can you tell us a little about how that quote came into your life and what it's meant for you?
Yeah, sure. I first heard it when I was really small. It was my mom's favorite quote and something that she said to us often as kids. I grew up in a family of five kids. So I always grew up hearing it. Goodness is the only investment that never fails. And I never really thought much of it until I got older and, became a mom and kind of began that natural evolutionary process of, softening as a person. And so now, especially that my mom, she unfortunately passed away a few years ago. And so now that she's not here, I think about it often and kind of see just the fruit of really digging into that quote that, goodness really isn't ever easy or expedient sometimes, but it always does have the best reward and kind of leaves you the most fulfilled in the end. So that's a little snippet.
Yeah, and it definitely, in our relationships within our families, but even outside of that, like there's so many ways that we can be good. And there's so many ways that the world tells us that you don't have to be that good. Or as long as you're not as bad as something else, then like there's still goodness. But I guess how do you see goodness? How would you define that?
Well, so I see goodness as, I mean, I think there's kind of like what you were saying at the beginning, just how there's nuggets of truth and beauty in everything, even things that aren't explicitly in line with perhaps Catholic or Christian thought or teaching. That's because God's handprint is everywhere, you know. But I guess I think that things that are the most good are things that have the most essence of truth in them, things that point to God, that what is true, what is beautiful. I think that is where goodness really comes alive. And I think that when we kind of seek to be good and to make that our end goal, it kind of brings a sense of like inner peace and freedom, which, you know, that word freedom kind of has a connotation in our culture, you know, do whatever you want, whenever you want, and you're free. But in the end, you know, if you're not really ordering yourself towards goodness and towards like that strength of character, you're not really all that free, are you?
Yeah, exactly. That word freedom has been, maybe in the last 6 months or a year, my husband has been thinking about that. I forget, he read something. I have to ask him what it was. Something about freedom and how, you know, exactly what we think, what the world tells us is freedom is really still binding us up. And maybe what we think will bind us up is really making us free, because we were created to be something and are only really free when we are that thing that we were created to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I think a lot of times, like, this is like the theology teacher coming out. I used to teach a lot of philosophy, kind of as laying as the groundwork for theology. And I always think about Socrates, and he defines virtue as trying to make a habit of doing what is good. And which I think is a really great start. But he says that actually the supreme form of virtue is not just doing what is good because you know that you should, but actually doing it because you desire to do it. Like, that's the supremeness of it. And so I think just keeping that idea in mind, you know, we start with habits of, okay, I should do this because this is the right thing, or this is the good thing, or, you know, this will make me better. But if we keep on, you know, it should become something that we do because, you know, we want to be that thing, not just because we know we should.
Yes. So often, I feel like this probably comes up more than at least I expected it to. My husband and I teach pre-Cana. People who have listened before know that well, because it keeps coming up. But we talk about how you start with habits, and those habits, like with grace, I can't remember the quote exactly, but the catechism says, I think, a habit with grace, like something you intentionally try to do over and over again and make part of your routine, with grace, it becomes a virtue. And those virtues, at least within the context of marriage, like that's what allows us to live out the promise that we've made, because we can't do it by ourselves. Like, we can't live a beautiful, full, complete marriage without having God in it. And I think that's probably, I mean, that's true of any vocation, right? Like, we can't do all the things on our own. We need God to help us. So we need to be attuned to like, what is the good thing? Like, I think something I'm realizing too, as I get older, is like, we need to be formed to recognize what that goodness is in order to chase it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Because there's so many things in our culture that kind of present as good and appealing, but at the end of the day, you know, they kind of take us farther from what is authentic and what is true and, you know, who we should really be striving to be. So I think that's a good point to really, to flesh out, because if you don't know what's good, how can you really go after it, you know?
Right. And sometimes that goodness is going to look like suffering when it starts, and discerning which of those, how to follow through on that. Like, you need to have a relationship with God. You need to be able to hear his voice in order to pursue the things that are going to take you where he wants you to be.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting that you bring up that point of suffering, because I actually believe that a reason that, you know, I mean, there's lots of reasons, you know, people have a false notion of freedom, as we discussed, but I think another reason that people don't really strive to do the good sometimes as much as they should is because it involves usually sacrifice and suffering and pain. And, you know, we have this idea in our world that pain is bad and suffering is bad, when in actuality, you know, suffering, while it's never, you know, we never want to go through suffering, and it's never something that's easy, but it's usually the thing that, you know, makes us better, you know, because if you can endure through it and push into it, when you come out the other side, you know, at least you've learned something, you know?
Yeah. And if you're pushing away the suffering and you're trying to, you know, avoid anything that's painful, like, then you don't let God in either, because he's there in our weakness and our brokenness. And if we try to do it all on our own, I mean, in some ways, God's going to say, okay, if you want, like, we have free will. If you want to go do that on your own, then go do it. But if you want me, I'm here. You know, I think as a parent, I'm seeing that more and more too, that like, I want my kids to have what is good, but like, they have to choose it and I can't choose it for them. But I want what is good for them. And I have a different perspective on that than they do. And I think sometimes as adults, even we can forget that God has a different perspective on what's good than we do. Just, I mean, the same way, like between me and my like 6, 7-year-old, how old is he? Like, I know different stuff than he does because I've been alive longer and I've experienced different things. But you have to have that openness to want it too.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And like things that, you know, I always kind of think about, you know, if we could see our lives like from an aerial perspective, the way that God can see, you know, this like linear timeline, you know, we could, you know, we can't see it because, you know, we're walking all the peaks and valleys and all the, you know, side roads and back roads and all these different things, but God can see, okay, well, you know, this detour, while it looks really, really painful and really awful and really hard, like, okay, well, 5 years down the road, like, that's for a cause. There's merit there. You know, you think about people that maybe their entire lives live these, you know, lives of, you know, just feeling lost, you know, and these lives of depravity. And then they have this conversion moment when they're, you know, in their 40s or in their 50s or whatever, you know, no moment is for naught, you know, but sometimes it's like we can't see. And so it's easy to despair. And I think just keeping in mind that God, you know, has every moment, he can pour grace into every moment if we let him. And there is no, you know, person that's beyond his grace and his love at any moment of their life.
Right. And the more we pursue that and the more that we try to find the goodness and we try to find the places where he is, the more we try to find him in the places where he's put us. Because sometimes I think we have to go look outside of ourselves or our current situation in order to have some kind of conversion moment. But like God, like you're saying, like everything is here for a reason. Like God has put us where he's put us because he can redeem it and he can do something great with it. So if we're looking for that and we're looking for his goodness and we want to emulate that goodness, then like there's always going to be fruit from that.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it's like you're saying, like every moment can be a moment of conversion, you know, like finding a moment of prayer when you're doing dishes as a stay-at-home mom, you know, or finding, you know, moments of conversion for your marriage. You know, anything can be a moment of conversion. It doesn't have to be like this, you know, giant end-all thing. It can be little moments. Yeah. You're walking.
Yeah. And it's those little moments that made the saints, right? Like they didn't do the big giant things because, and not all of them even did big giant things, but the ones who did, like it wasn't because they had this rush of grace that they'd never had before. Like most of them is because they built this virtue, like the virtues over time, and they invited God in, right? And they wanted him to be there, even if it was hard. Even, like, well, it always was hard. Basically, it was hard for everybody.
The force of habit, trying to do the good, then it eventually, like, enough grace, it makes you want to desire to do the good, and that's the path to sainthood, really, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So it's an interesting quote, but I think that it has a lot of applications, you know, in our world today, especially when we live in such a culture that, you know, in a lot of ways is, like, you know, not really following Christ in the mainstream culture. No.
But I think there's still the question of what is decency is varied depending on who you would ask. But there is still some, I think because it's written into who we are, there is some desire to do what is right and good. Like most people think you shouldn't steal, you know, right. Most people think you shouldn't do a variety of things. But like when we try to draw that line on our own, it gets very muddy.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. I actually love this whole topic because I used to talk with my students about like, all right, well, if right and wrong can be defined by every single person, then what is that innate sentence in you and in every person that says, okay, well, killing is bad.
Yeah.
Yep. Or if some people are like, all right, well, not all killing is bad, you know, because there's justifiable kills or whatever, you know, right. All right, well, let's go to something like that everybody can pretty much agree on that's of sane mind, right? Pedophilia. Well, a pedophile doesn't necessarily think that what he's doing is bad. He might think he's a good person,
right?
You know, and he might think that by his definition of truth, like this is right for him, you know. So where do we get that innate sense of right and wrong in our conscience? Like that has to come from some objective truth, you know.
Yes. And I love when I listen to Bishop Barron's podcast Word on Fire a lot, and he'll talk about the true, the good, and the beautiful, but he'll he has kind of this concept that our culture right now can start, maybe it's better to start with beauty because more of us can agree on that. What is true? There's a lot of question on that. Even what is good, like we're saying, there are some question marks on that too. But there are certain things that we can basically all agree are beautiful. And can we start with that? And I love that. And I think it's super interesting that maybe, you know, a couple of centuries ago, that wasn't necessarily the place to start because we had more common ground on different things as a culture.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting that you bring up beauty because I've heard, you know, a lot of snippets of conversation, certain Catholics say that they think that we might be entering this age of a new renaissance where people are going to be primarily drawn to God, maybe explicitly or implicitly, just through beauty, in TV shows, through beauty in films or in books, things that might not even be explicitly, you know, Christian at all, but just this experience of God's love and God's beauty in the world, you know? And so it's interesting you say that because a lot of people that I've talked to have said, yeah, I think that there's this age of this new renaissance coming that is going to lead a lot of people back to the essence of truth through art, through culture, you know?
Because I think we're hungry for it. And that's one way that kind of our, I don't know, postmodern or whatever minds can like generally grasp onto more.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we are hungry. I mean, we have so much emptiness in our culture. So many things that like are just like a quick fix. I think people are hungering for something that's real, you know?
Yeah. And I think like beautiful things kind of ask, at least it seems that they ask less of us than investing in truth or goodness, because like those things ask us to do or not do certain things, but beauty kind of just like invites us in and brings us to a place that's really fantastic. But like,
yeah,
in some ways that ask, I mean, because they're all connected, it does, but
there's almost like a passive like initiation into what is beautiful.
That's exactly the way to describe it.
Yeah. No, I totally get what you're saying. It's interesting how that works, but I think that you're spot on in that sense.
Yeah. I was reading a book a while ago called Story, I think by Robert McKee, and it's a book about screenwriting, but someone in my writer's group, where we write mostly novels and short stories, she recommended it just like for those of us who are working on novels. And like it's a huge book. It's like 400, I don't even know, a couple hundred pages. It's huge. But like 50 pages in, there was this line that the guy said something like, having trouble finding good stories because we don't have like a universal set of values. And if we don't have a universal set of values, if we can't agree on what's important, then there aren't stakes in a story that we can agree on. And we can't have really dramatic, I mean, he was talking about movies, but like literature and like so many other.
Because it doesn't appeal to everybody.
Right. Because then what I think is important isn't important to you, or like,
right.
You need to know whether the stakes, there always need to be like the stakes, right? We talk about that to my writers group a lot. What's it hanging in the balance here? And it could be something giant. It could be something really little, but like somehow you have to have an emotional experience of that to relate to the character in the story. And if you can't agree on what's important, then you can't tell that story. So if we're like getting bummed about, like literature not being great or movies like retelling the same stories over and over again, it seems. I mean, the guy was arguing that like we've kind of run out of stories because we can't agree on this.
Right.
But I think what we're saying, like if we can get back to beauty and we can find those things that are, you know, harmonious and I forget what all the points are. Bishop Barron talks about them. I think I forget who they were from. St. Thomas or St. Augustine. My youngest son's name is Thomas Augustine. So I forget which one is which. I hear a saint and it relates to my kid and I can't remember which one they are anymore. But there's like different points of beauty and what makes something beautiful. And I think that's, yeah. So that's like where it starts, I think. And just to tie us back, like that's what Ever Eden is doing, right? Because it's all written by Catholic women like you and me. And maybe some listeners, maybe some of you will be compelled to submit to future journals. But we're not explicitly talking about our Catholicism and not necessarily even, you know, not every character is having like an internal prayer monologue.
Right.
But it informs the way that we're seeing the world. And there is something really beautiful and powerful about that.
Right. Yeah. And that's actually something that I do really love about Evereden, because I actually don't really like, that I don't like, but I tend not to really enjoy things that are explicitly religious in writing or in movies. Like a little bit here and there is okay. But sometimes, like, if it's just like shoving it down your throat religion, I don't relate to it. And so I love
it's a message. It's not a story, right? Like, we go for the story.
Yeah, you go for the story. And so I love that so many of the pieces that Evereden chooses to publish and highlight are stories that, you know, there is an implicit kind of sacredness throughout the piece. Yeah. And there's something that kind of like uplifts the beautiful out of things that are ordinary. And it's not just so much like, okay, well, we're just going to publish these, like you said, like inner, you know, prayer monologues or whatever, you know, because I think people, you know, it doesn't hit home for a lot of people.
Yeah. We need to see it being lived out in the hard stuff and the beautiful stuff. And and when those things are the same thing.
Right.
All right. We are talking a lot. I just realized we need to cut it short.
Okay. Sorry.
So no, that was such a powerful conversation. Thank you, Allie, so much for hanging out with me. I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much for having me.
Listeners, to suggest a quote or a guest, follow the show on Instagram, quoteme_podcast, or contact me at my website, lindseyschlegel.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast and subscribe to Evereden. Leave a review wherever you find your podcasts and tell a friend. Until next time, God bless you.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by A few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zemak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.